Welcome to the Lost Library, Seeker. Enjoy your stay.
The Ronin, the Builder, the Defender, and the Confined went into the woods some werewolves to find. Yet behind the family drama and petty jealous strife, a shadow loomed over all to keep them from the light.
Hi, I'm Matt, the host of Lost Library and your game master here on Grayscale. You can find me on Twitter at Matt Hoadley, and you can find all of my projects at fifthdraw.com.
Hi, I'm Christina, and I'm playing Ashley Adario. You can find me on Twitter at CWoodsArt or on Tumblr and Instagram at Christina Woods Art.
Hey, I'm Emmeline, or Emma, and you can find me on Twitter at Of Hauntings.
My name's Nora Blake, and you can find me on Twitter at Neither Nora, as well as on other podcasts like Hollow Sweethearts, White Lotus Radio, and Babe City.
Hi, I'm Travis, and today I'll be playing Cole Cameron.
You can also find me on Twitter at Dice Lobber.
So we're going to start off this part of our story a little differently. We're going to pan around and observe this entire auditorium. The moment that David, the gross edgelord, riffed on a horror movie line and just thought he was being really cool with the line and was really just kind of lame. The minute he says his line and all of the packages he had prepared delivered their injection, a bunch of things happen at once. Every single teacher sitting up on the main dais has a needle jab into their leg. Two chairs that are empty right now have needles that just kind of shoot their liquid onto just the seat because Owen and Helam are not here. At the main podium, the principal, who had been trying to kind of speak over the loud music and try to reassert some control, she gets shot in the face with a gray cloud of mist just right into her face, and she's coughing. It looks like the 10th seat in every row had one of these devices, and they get injected. So there is a good number, like 30, 40 people just kind of screaming in pain. And down in the student body, there's maybe 10 or 20 people who got injected down there. Friday is not one of them.
Oh my god, thank god.
Neither is Angela.
Thank you. Thank you.
So, we're gonna zoom back in, and we're gonna start with Cole.
Alright, first, being that it's 1 in 10, I feel like this guy is just sitting there being really smug, like, yeah, I know what the definition of decimate really is. You feel me?
Congratulations, nope. Cole, you've solved my history puzzle.
Okay, so at this point, I'm still in the school because I was going to milk not having to wear that ugly gold robe or anything as long as I can. Am I hearing any commotion now that the riff is over?
You can pretty faintly hear the screams, yeah.
All right, so without a panicked reaction, we're getting that robe off. This is number one. I'm still on a mission to not have my robe. And
okay,
as soon as I do that, I am going to book it towards the auditorium.
All right, so you managed to pull the robe off this time. It does kind of get hung up. You have to wrestle with it a little bit, but you get it off, you throw it on the ground, and you run to the auditorium. You crank the door open, and two people are right there in your face. And you can see these, like, white veins crawling up their skin. And they are just screaming. And they're trying to push past you out of the auditorium.
All right. So I think I'm going to have to assess a bad situation.
Absolutely.
This qualifies as a bad situation if ever I've heard.
I mean, if this doesn't, I don't know what would.
We have a 7.
All right, you get to ask me one of the questions on the list. And again, as a reminder, that list is, what's my best way in? What's my best way out? Are there any dangers we haven't noticed? What's the biggest threat? What's most vulnerable to me? What's the best way to protect the victims?
Yep. What's the best way to protect the victims?
Ooh, man. Okay, this is a weird answer, Cole. And
okay,
the reason it's weird is because now, right now in this moment, mm-hmm. Cole doesn't have any... I don't know that Cole would suspect that this is magic.
Okay.
Of any sort. Like a prank gone terribly wrong. Maybe even like a prankster turns terrorist. Something as bad is happening here, but you have not sought out or gathered enough information yet to tell you that this is a magic thing. And your powers are so kind of specifically focused to your emotions and to some other connections like that, that they might not just twinge to this being a magic attack if it is. So
yeah,
weirdly,
yeah, I see that.
So weirdly, the first thing that pops into Cole's head is, shit, we need authorities here.
All right, well then, how close am I to the nearest fire alarm?
It's right by your hand.
Well, no, it's in my hand because I'm pulling it.
So everyone hears the fire alarm go off and screaming kind of like over the human screams or the siren screams going off.
Nothing like adding a little more bedlam to the situation till people actually show up to help.
Absolutely. And y'all have had some fire alarms and even some prank pulls before. Y'all know that there's the fire department isn't terribly far away and they're not particularly slow, but no one's going to be an instantaneous response. So y'all still have probably a couple minutes before any sort of outside authority shows up. So we're going to jump over then. Ashley, Friday, Molly, who of y'all has something that y'all want to do? Has a reaction to this? Anything like that?
So I think Friday wants to read a bad situation.
Absolutely. Roll it up. Plus smarts.
Alrighty. I got an 8.
Okay. You also get to ask me one question off that list.
Great. What's my best way out, being that I want to get somewhere where I can look at the book?
Oh, okay. So there are all the teachers and the principal on stage are having the same reaction. A handful of your classmates are. You're kind of in the middle. The person on your row that got injected was on like the inner aisle side. So you could probably get out to the outer aisle and maybe slip out the like this kind of front exit that's up towards the stage, but not on the stage. You could probably slip out into a hallway over there.
Sure. That sounds great. I'll do that then.
All right. So Friday's moving. We'll check back in with you in 1 second. Friday's moving, probably carefully making sure nothing can get near her. Molly, what you got?
You think you would classify this as a curse?
Would I call this a curse?
Yeah. These devices injecting things, is that a curse?
Hmm. I'm guessing you have a move related to that, and I want to give it to you.
I was looking at use magic again.
Here's what I'd like you to do.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to roll your use magic, and let's see what the result to that is, and then I might have you roll something else real fast, too. So
roll your
magic first.
10.
Awesome. Okay, now roll plus weird one more time.
10 again.
Okay, awesome. Awesome. We're gonna kind of do like a Molly putting things together in her head, and especially because you dated David before. Like, you know he's a tech guy. He thinks he's hot shit on a guitar. You know all these things about him. But one of the things you do know for sure about him is he was, for a while, obsessed with the occult. And not just, like, general occult. Not just, like, oh, he occasionally, like, flips a tarot card or tries to do a seance or, like, just, like, rubs crystals everywhere occult. Like, he was specific and he was obsessed with occult practices of the Caribbean. And you're just kind of doing some math in your head and you're like, wait a minute. When hell is full, the dead walk the earth. Zombies, Vodun, David. Oh no. So you're going to be able to put together that this very possibly could be some sort of magic zombie drug.
Uh-huh. Cool.
And that would absolutely count as a curse and would let you use that 10-year-old on the do magic without any penalty. So you're going to be able to use magic here. What are you doing?
It says banish a spirit or curse from the person, object, or place it inhabits. Could I get an area effect here?
If you will take a little bit of time, like if you take, like, meditate, draw on the spell for like 10 seconds, you'll get a radius that's bigger than just a person. If you do it for 30 seconds, you'll get a bigger radius. If you go the whole minute and you burn 2 luck, I'll let you clear this whole room.
All right. She texts Friday, seat number, next line, cover me, I can fix this. And then she flicks the fidget spinner.
And okay.
And she starts concentrating.
We're going to jump then over to Ashley. Now, so far, all three of these things, what Molly and Friday have done and what Ashley's about to do, all happen right as Cole pulls the fire alarm. So, Ashley, what are you doing?
I know you just said that they all are happening simultaneously. Can I notice Friday leaving?
Yes, absolutely. You kind of kept your eye on her. You noticed what was on her mortarboard. So yeah, you can kind of keep an eye. She is moving towards a front exit.
Okay.
And actually, Friday, your phone goes off.
Right, yeah.
Sure. Are you changing course?
God, like, honestly, I don't think it would be out of the question if she didn't even, like, realize that it went off with all of the commotion and, like, she's kind of got, like, a one-track
okay,
mind
so, like,
right now.
Not until she's out in the hall will she notice she got that text?
Yeah, probably.
Cool. Ashley, Friday is heading towards the kind of the front side door up by the auditorium stage.
Okay. Next question is going to be, how many people out of the group that I'm sitting with, the immediate field hockey team, are how many of them got shot?
Let's see, how many people are on a field hockey team?
Look, there are more than 10 people, so statistically at least one of them would have gotten injected.
Okay, well, let me ask this question. On your row, Jen was going to be the one injected, and you took her out of that situation. So were y'all all just on one row, or were y'all kind of split over 2 or 3 rows?
Since we got here late, probably spread out over a couple of rows. I just counted and there would have been 15 of us, not including me and Jen, sitting together. So probably like a bunch of the field hockey girls in one row and then like 2 others plus Jen and Ashley's parents in the front row or in another row. So.
Ooh, really? Jen's mom.
Okay.
Jen's mom in the row in front of you is the only one out of your group that got it.
In that case, I'm going to tell Jen, like, something happened to your mom. You try and call the cops, try and call the fire department, ambulance or something. I'm going to go see if I can get reception. And because I imagine that since it's an auditorium in a high school, cell reception is probably not the greatest. So if we can get more than one person trying to call at the same time, hopefully one of us will go through. Plus the fire
so
alarm.
So Jen pulls out her phone right as you say that, and she's dialing 911, and when she hits the talk button, there is like a scream of static over her phone.
Okay. Besides freaking out at the scream of static, I am, like, as soon as her phone was out, I am running out.
I would like you to roll plus sharp first.
Plus sharp. Then I got an 8.
Okay, this kind of twigs on you. You're kind of panicked at the moment, kind of focused on doing what you need to do. You remember that Carrie, during y'all's training, had told you something about this, and that this is some sort of, like, weird cell jammer of some sort, produces this kind of result.
Okay, would my training have included anything about, like, recognizing different types of, like, magic effects?
Unfortunately, like, if you had gotten a 10 on that, yes, you absolutely would have recalled how to deal with it.
Okay,
or how
that's fair.
Identify what's doing it and deal with it. Right now, you're a little frazzled. It's been a day.
Yeah. Since I can't do anything immediately about that situation, I'm grabbing my field hockey bag and I am running to try and intercept Friday. I don't personally know Cole or Like, I know of Cole and Molly, but I am much closer with Friday, and if she is running out and knows, and looks like she might know what's going on, and she was also highlighted, I'm gonna go try and intercept her and see if we can figure out what to do, because if I can't get my cell phone, I need to get with people who also are aware of what's going on.
Cool. So you grab your bag and you just sprint, you kind of sprint down. You're going to be able to catch up with her kind of just as she goes through the door. You do notice something. Your bag is vibrating and you think it's coming from your weapon, kind of in the same way that it was previously in another night.
Yes.
And you've kind of dealt with this a couple of times. Carrie's put you in some situations that kind of provoked a similar, but not exactly the same result. Like she's taken you and shown you a couple of spookier things that have kind of produced the same kind of low scale version of this vibration. And you're kind of recognizing that it's anticipation.
Okay.
So you're going to be able to catch up with Friday right as y'all go, as she goes through the door. So, Friday, Ashley's there.
Great.
And y'all are out in the front hallway.
The hallway is empty besides us, right?
So far, yes.
Okay. Friday. Okay. You know something that's going on with us too, right?
What do you know about it?
I know nothing, but my God, I am so glad that someone else that I know is involved with this, besides, like, I guess my mentor and, like, the teachers, and oh my God, Laurie is in this, and it's the worst.
Friday, your cell phone buzzes.
She's kind of frazzled because there's a lot of different directions her mind's going, but she does, you know, get out of it and pick up her cell phone.
Ashley, somehow Friday's getting text messages.
If you can get texts, like, can you get any way out? Like, could I use your phone after you answer your text or whatever it is? Because, like, I might be able to get help with this.
Sure. What does the text say?
The text is from Molly. So, right. Molly, what does the text say?
It says Molly's seat number, and then it says, cover me, I can fix this.
Shit. Okay, you take the phone, and I have to go back in there.
Okay, wait, Molly, as in, like, Molly, who is she dating Minnie?
Yes, that's the Molly.
Is that her? Okay. I don't know what her deal is, but if she needs cover, I guess let's go. Give me your phone.
Okay, wait, no, I'll call, you give her cover. It's my phone. Does that just make sense?
No, I mean, I was out of character, I was going to text Aunt Carrie and tell her what's going on.
Oh, I see. Friday just assumes you're trying to call the police, so that's what she was thinking.
There's someone that I might be able to get a hold of who might be able to tell us what's going on. I'm assuming that we're, like, moving up towards where Molly was seated as we had this conversation. Yeah. Friday, do you think that, like, calling, do you think the fire alarm's gonna be enough? Like, do we need to call the police? Do we need to call... Okay, give me your phone, please.
Okay, fine, yeah, take my phone.
Okay, okay.
She gives her the phone, and then she's running back to the auditorium to see what Molly's doing and see how she can cover her.
Okay.
It's not too late.
All right. Ashley, you're running with Friday, right?
Yeah, we are running together.
Okay, we're going to stay with y'all two for just 1 second. Ashley, when you take the phone, you feel like a weird tingle running through it. Like something not quite normal is kind of surrounding this phone.
Okay.
And you're able to... Are you calling Carrie or are you texting Carrie?
Calling is faster than texting. I'm calling her.
So the phone's able to get through. You hear like this staticky... There's kind of this like static for a minute and then it goes through. And Carrie on the other end just goes... Ashley.
Okay, Aunt Carrie, something happened. The boxes, there was some kind of, like, weird robot arm, some kind of, like, white liquid. It came out, like, robot arms came out and, like, stabbed people. It got
Ashley.
Jen's mom, all the teachers. Yeah, what,
Breathe. Focus. Remember what we talked about.
Okay.
Clear heads, clear actions.
Okay, Ashley, like, runs slightly slower. And yes, I take a breath.
So Carrie goes, okay, what happened?
We were, there's some kind of guitar riff. It was that kid who did all the hacking with the audio systems last year. He said something about hell being filled and dead walking, and then, like, robot arms came out and, like, stabbed people who were sitting in some of the seats, not all of them. It looked like it got all the teachers. There was some kind of, like, white stuff. It didn't get me. It got Jen's mom. It would have gotten Jen. I'm with Friday. We're trying to go help some, I think Molly. Molly knows something that's what's up.
All right. You continue with that. Molly is a trustworthy person. She knows what's going on in this town. As much as you or Friday do anyways. Regroup with her.
Okay.
Avoid any of those needles. Try not to let any of those who are affected come in direct contact with you. I'm alerting authorities. Help should be there soon.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, thanks. Love you. We're gonna do our best.
And Carrie hangs up.
Okay, I give Friday her phone back as we continue to move up towards where Molly is sitting.
Friday, as soon as your phone's back in your hand, you also feel something a little weird. You hadn't noticed that there was like a tingle of something on your phone, but now that it's back, there's a different effect. Like, it's like the frequency changed a little bit.
Huh.
So now you're aware of it.
Got it. Sure wish I looked at my book, but too many things are happening right now.
Sorry.
I'm giving you the shrug emoji in real life right now with my innocent face on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's jump back over to Cole, because we haven't talked to you in a while. What you doing, buddy?
All right. Well, I know there were four of us when everything went topsy-turvy at the beginning of the graduation that were highlighted. The four people, I know for a fact Molly is a hunter. So I'm going to try to find the only other people that might have any clue how to deal with this situation.
Roll me read a bad situation.
All right. Can do. We have a 12.
Okay.
Yes!
One of your three answers is going to be the exact kind of... You're able to pick Molly and consequently Friday and Ashley out of the crowd as they're kind of converging together. So you're going to know where to go. You'll have two more questions off of the list.
Are there any dangers we haven't noticed?
Ooh.
$1 million question.
It's such a good one. Cole is kind of by practice and probably a little bit by nature, is a, you know, he's kind of a rabble-rouser, rule-breaker, rebel type. He's also not an idiot.
Yeah.
And one thing that you know is that the bigger the impact, there are usually two reasons for it. One, attention. Or two, distraction.
Okay.
Nothing about this... Type recognizes type here, right? Like, you're kind of looking at this and going like, okay, this is big and this is loud and this is bullshit and really fucked up. And, you know, like, I don't care how shitty most of these school assholes are. They don't deserve this kind of deal, right? This doesn't feel like attention. This feels like distraction.
No, there's a claim to it, but it's not pointing that attention at whatever that person wants you, other than look at me. This is too much work for look at me.
And in point of fact, something kind of clicks in your head from that really dark, scary part of you that sometimes that's giving you hellfire and sometimes kind of acts on its own initiative.
Yeah.
And just this phrase pops into your head that just goes... You know, I bet that music and those lines were a ritual designed to produce a result. Hey everybody, Matt, your host and DM here, just checking in here on a mid-episode break. Once again, thank you all so much for bearing with us with our schedule being a little weird this month. Our next episode is going to come out on Wednesday, and then next Saturday we're going to have a special episode, a special blind box episode that's going to be a one-shot in Interstitial run by Riley Hopkins, the guy who made the game and who's kickstarting it right now. See details down in the comments. Not comments, this isn't a YouTube video. Down in the notes. Yes, that's the word. So check that out. Once again, Interstitial is still our high tide recommendation this month. Go check it out. It's on Kickstarter right now. It's Interstitial, Our Hearts Intertwined. It is so much fun. We want to thank Renee Rhodes from the Fate and the Fable Maidens podcast for doing our recap. As always, you can find her on Twitter at RayDeanneR. And definitely go give Fate and the Fable Maidens a listen. It is a ton of fun. Yeah, this is a shorter break, so we can get right back into the action. Like I said, we're going to be back next Wednesday, and then in August, we're going to be back on a regular schedule. So, thank you all so much. Our music is Agra by Damiano Baldoni from the Lost Dynasty. Slow down. Chill. All right. We all good now? We can get that radio voice. You can find Agra on the Free Music Archive. So, thank you all so much for listening, and man, graduation got out of hand. All right, one more quick thing. We're rapidly approaching 2,500 downloads of The Lost Library since we started keeping track. And when we hit 2,500 downloads, we're going to put out a special episode that's going to be a Q&A session. If you go to our Twitter, at Lost Library Cast, right up near the top, there's that announcement tweet. And just throw questions under there. For me and for our cast, the cast is going to ask me some questions. We want questions from you, our audience. So do that for us. And when we hit 2,500 downloads, we will make and release that episode. So thank y'all so much for that, because, you know, that's literally y'all. We can't generate that many downloads on our own. So thank y'all for listening. It's super appreciated. No more interruptions. Back to our normal mid-episode break. Man, I am just falling apart on this one. I'm sorry. I'll be better next time. On to the promos, and then back to the episode.
Hey, Travis, I just started watching this new show.
Yeah? What you watching?
Oh, you know, it's like this thing where it's a bunch of magical girls all get transported to a fantasy world where it's an entirely patriarchal society of buff muscle men.
So that's a show, huh? That you're watching. That may literally be the dumbest thing I have ever heard. Want to talk about it?
Yeah, we can do that on our podcast, WTF Anime, the show where John Travis sit down and watch dumb anime and then review it for a bit. It's as awful as it sounds.
Yeah, it's the worst.
Hey, Allie, do you like Legend of Korra?
Yes, kind of. Yes?
My name is Nora.
My name's Allison. We do a podcast about The Legend of Korra, a television show that you can watch with your eyes and hear with your ears.
On the internet.
It's a podcast.
Download it every Wednesday.
Shit posts and kind of kink shit, but mostly Korra. Mostly kink shit at this point.
See, we had a good ad.
Just look for White Lotus Radio wherever podcasts are found, usually. Thank you.
Thank you.
And as you're thinking about it, like, as you're moving through the auditorium to get over to Molly and crew, like, you're seeing these devices and this injection material, and you're like, well, I mean, yeah, that's a material component of a ritual. Like, something was channeled into those, some energy was channeled into whatever that was, and this is the result. Like, every note he played, every word he said, was just tied to this ritual. This is deliberate, And, like, it's designed to be bad because clearly whoever was behind this had some capital I issues, but there's no claim attached to it. Like there's no, like, just obvious attention seeking. This is calculated. Maybe not as tightly as it should be from, like, a mastermind, but this is calculated. And that's what Cole is putting together, is something else is happening. So what is question three?
What's my best way out? And when I say my, I'm also thinking as far as group goes.
Okay, so this is tied to your previous question. You know, yeah, something else is happening. And you also, because you're now kind of also figuring out that maybe this is tied to that whole vision thing that happened, you know, the guy, mm-hmm, who recognizes visions might recognize when a vision happens.
Yes.
It felt weird, but, you know, it's like the difference between low def and high def. This felt more real than your visions did. Anyway, you're thinking about this and you're like, okay, we cannot be stopped by cops. They're going to get, yeah, here. They're going to sort this. They're probably like you can kind of tell as you're getting closer that, like, Molly is doing something spooky. She's doing something on your end of the spectrum. So maybe y'all are going to fix this, but cops are still going to ask questions of everybody. Oh, wait, also, I'm Cole Cameron, known prankster type person. I'm probably going to get accused of stuff just out of hand. Molly's not exactly, like, you've heard stories about Molly. You've worked with Molly. Like, not exactly a perfectly sterling reputation, so y'all are going to need to get out of here. And you've explored this school. Like, you've talked to the right people. You've explored this school. You know that there are some ways out of here where y'all can get clear quick when y'all need to. So you're going to know a route out that's going to get you out past anyone trying to control and manage the crisis.
Okay.
But there's more going on than just this.
Great. Okay, cool. I've got a rough game plan then. So,
okay. Go ahead.
Step one is group up. I need to collect up all my fellow hunters here amongst the chaos. Is Molly still doing her spell thing?
Molly is concentrating. It seems right now like the people that got hit with the needles kind of on the two rows kind of above and below hers are still just in, like, a painful screaming kind of stage. No one's really progressed beyond that, it seems like. Everyone's still just in excruciating pain. As you're going, you're noticing those white veins are kind of covering people and are starting to expand out to just kind of cover their skin. It's starting to look like kind of a total coverage kind of deal. It's not quite there yet, but it's getting there. So Molly, it looks like she is in deep focus, kind of channeling some power. Cole, you can almost kind of just see it in a weird way, kind of synesthesia style. Like, you can see kind of this green energy kind of spooling around her. Friday, you're going to have a slightly different reaction to it. Like, you're going to feel, again, kind of the same kind of deal like when Ashley handed you the phone back. You're going to feel like a different frequency of vibration than any that you're used to feeling. And Ashley, your weapon, when you get in close to Molly, your weapon is kind of going to be like, wait, what? There's something else here, but it's not, I'm not supposed to. Your weapon's kind of confused and kind of goes silent when you get up close. And all three of y'all are going to arrive Friday and Ashley first, and then Cole.
Okay. That sounds good to me. Since I'm finally out of the robes, I know at the very least Christina was asking for a description of what he was trying to wear in protest.
This should be amazing. Please go right ahead.
Oh, yeah. So I'm sure you've all seen that really bad robin's egg blue that they used to put on tuxes in, like, the 50s and 60s.
Gross.
With those really huge lapels. You know exactly what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
He's got one of those on, except on that lapel, he stitched material over it, so it's a bright red plaid to clash with the robin's egg blue. And in spray paint, on one breast, he's written the word fuck going from top to bottom. And on the other one, you. And this was his usher's outfit idea.
I have to say, Travis, I think that Brian would approve.
It's like it is surprisingly perfect stitching. Like it is quality work that all three of you like immediately recognize. Like that is some quality work that he did.
Does like,
he
Cole
went to a
cosplay.
Ridiculous amount of effort for this prank? To various degrees of approval, I'm sure, amongst the three of you. So all four of you are gathered. Molly, you're still focusing on the spell. I'm going to say it's been about 30 seconds so far. People can move fast when motivated.
So the thing that you also notice about Molly is that her eyes are normally blue, but now they are sharp green. It's a different green from her disintegration magic, which is sort of a dull kind of sick green. This is like an electric green, and it's the irises of her eyes, and they sort of glimmer similar to like the Awoken from Destiny. They just have a bit of a shine to them, and she is like staring into the middle distance, whispering under her breath, and her free hand is like doing some strange motions.
Okay.
And she is, like, completely ignoring everyone else.
Is she going to register when people show up around her?
I don't think
so. That's not gonna break your concentration, but are you going to notice when Friday, Ashley, and Cole show up?
I think she will, like, her eyes will, like, flick over and, like, lock eyes with Friday.
Okay.
But she's not gonna, like, stop what she's doing.
Friday, Ashley, what are y'all doing now that y'all are here?
Okay, Emma, do you want to go first? Because I talked a lot the last time that we had our interactions.
Oh, no, that's fine. Well, Friday, like, makes eye contact with Molly and kind of nods, and then...
Hey, her eyes are a weird color, Friday.
That's definitely weird, but I guess there's a lot of weird stuff happening right now, so it's kind of the least of my worries.
Yup! Fair.
She'll ask about that later. But for right now, Molly asked her to, like, watch her back. So that's pretty much what she's going to do. She's kind of just make sure that none of the weird people who got injected are coming close, and that she's, like, nothing would break her concentration, because I can tell that she's concentrating on something, whatever that is.
Cool, cool, cool. What we're going to have happen here real fast with you, so you're going to step past her to, like, literally watch her back.
Mm-hmm.
That seems like something Friday would do. That's how Friday would interpret that.
Sure.
It seems like so far. As you step past her, you hear Ben's voice in your ear. And Ben just goes, man, what? Okay, so sports girl... has some shit, and your wizard friend, wow, she's dipping a toe right in the deep end there. And I don't know what Mr. Bad Taste in Clothes has got going on, but Friday, your friends are fucked. And you hear this like thump on his end, and Uriel's voice comes over and just goes, no, they're helping. Jesus, Ben.
Yeah, Jesus, Ben. She whispers. Do you guys have any more insight, maybe?
Well, okay. This is weird. Okay, so remember what we said about something happening with time?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we think someone from down the line somewhere intruded back and is trying to reshape how events go to try to, and there's like you hear another thump on his end and a pause, and he just goes, to just really screw up what happened here and to make things way more difficult for our side of things. So if y'all can find out who's behind this, maybe we can find out who's messing with time, and you know, y'all can be in a position to stop them down the line when they try to go back and mess with time.
All right. right?
I mean, I'm really hoping multiverse theory is at work here, because otherwise y'all already failed. But, I mean, you live because you have the book, so you will survive unless multiverse theory.
Super comforting. Thank you.
I'm real sorry. Listen, time is fucked.
Yeah.
Just as a concept, like, y'all are all linear, and y'all don't even see, like, okay, you had 4 options for breakfast this morning, and each one of those Fridays had, like, dozens of other choices between then and now. There are literally 900 different Fridays that I'm talking to right now.
Time's fucked might as well be, like, the title of my memoirs, okay? Like...
Oh. Okay, you feel, like, something warm in your, like, in your pocket, and, like, on the book, wherever you have it, the book changes to Time is Fucked by Frida Friday Dunn. And then a second later, like, fades out again and goes back to The Book of the Tin.
That's really good.
It's just like, it's like you in the future is aware of the dramatic moments in the past where Friday just might need a laugh.
Oh, man. Man, future Friday. Love her. Okay. All right, so I guess what you need me to do is you want me to find who's done this and then figure it out from there.
There's a pause, and you're starting to recognize when it's, like, off and when there's a pause, like he's conferring with someone or thinking. And he just goes, well, you can't really check the book right now. That would be bad. Yeah. Because then they'd see it.
Mm-hmm.
And that'd definitely be really, really bad. Okay. And you hear, like, a shuffling noise. And he just, like, leans in. Like, you kind of feel this. Like he had been back here. And now he's up here. Right up on the mic. And he just goes, okay. I'm going to cheat, and I'm sorry, and I really hope this doesn't... Okay, no, I can't do that. Free will. I can cheat, and I can give you a hint that would have been in the book, but you have to ask for it.
Okay, give it to me, please.
Okay, there might be consequences.
There's a lot of stuff happening right now. Consequences, whatever. Just give it to me.
Okay. Cole's onto something, and Molly knows about this guy. And I don't know what sports girl's doing here, but she's gonna be super helpful.
Okay, that's okay. Great. Got it. She's just kind of...
Did that actually help? And he kind of leans back. You feel him lean back. Did that actually help?
I mean, I guess I knew more than I did before. Yeah, that probably helped. Probably.
Okay, I guess, like, y'all need to get out of here, and then y'all need to... Ooh. Hey, so Cole's gonna be talking some nonsense about the cops here in a minute. He's right. And then you hear the same thump, and Uriel just goes, stop looking into the future, Benjamin. All right, Ashley, what are you doing?
Okay, first off, what do I see when Friday is doing the talking to Ben?
She's just kind of like standing behind Molly. I guess maybe in some sort of like ready pose, as much as Friday is like prepared to fend off anyone attacking her magic friend.
Yeah.
Good.
And you just kind of like notice her, like her eyes are kind of darting around, and she's like, you can see her mouth moving like she's muttering something, but that's it. Your weapon is still just kind of confused by this whole situation. It's starting to kind of adjust, and you kind of feel the vibration building up again, but it's not quite back to parity yet. It has not yet filtered out any non-immediately threatening magics.
Oh, great. So my weapon has to buffer. Okay.
It's learning. It's doing its best, Ashley.
It is, and I am too. So my question is going to be, like, how many non-injected civilians are there still around? I feel like everyone would have been running for the hills at this point.
It's kind of, it's strange. So one, immediate, like, relatives or friends of those who were injected are like trying to like help them, trying to like comfort them, trying to figure out what's wrong kind of deal. Some people are like trying to examine these devices. A host of like more authoritative parents, both male, female, and non-binary, are kind of rushing the stage to assert authority or help the teachers and principal. A bunch of more maternal instinct parents are running to their kids. A few people are trying to head to the doors. Some of those who have gotten injected are trying to head to the doors. Most of them are just kind of incapacitated on the ground, kind of screaming still.
Okay.
So that's what you're currently looking at. No one's really outright running because there has not yet been enough time for people to really parse just how dangerous this could be. And there has not been an additional motivator yet.
Since it seems like no one is really like paying attention to the three, soon to be four of us, I've had my weapon in the sling pack on my back, so I'm gonna go ahead and just get that out and like not like wave it around like certain cartoon hero or something like that, but like it is going to be, I'm standing in the ready position that I have practiced with Aunt Carrie, because you know what, like Friday's got something going on, this chick Molly's doing something, so if we're here to provide cover, I'm gonna provide cover, not like ostentatious okay. cover, but provide cover.
Got you. Molly.
Hi.
I need you to roll plus weird for me real fast.
Sure.
Will my standing out here and protecting her be counted as a help out?
Not in this specific case.
Okay.
For reasons that will become clear in a moment.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
12.
Okay, yeah, you are fine. You're still managing to concentrate. What you see, though, is, like, you saw Friday move past you, and you kind of felt like a, not like a, you felt kind of just like a warmth behind you, because you're so, like, in kind of the magic stream right now. You're also kind of sensitive to other energies like that flowing around. And, you know, Friday was just directly communicating with angels. And one of them peeked into time. And that kind of has an energy signature all its own. So there's just kind of this, like, warmth behind you. But that's not really... It feels like Friday because it's coming from her. So it's not, like, a threatening thing to you at all. So that didn't even kind of... risk disrupting your cool.
It's you said it was like angel stuff,
because it's the energy that's coming off of Friday is because an angel is literally talking into her head.
I was thinking maybe some of that warmth a little bit feels like Minnie hugging her
a little bit, yeah, which is probably just a little confusing, but yeah, it's at least in the same family of warmth,
right?
But what almost wrecked your concentration, well, it didn't actually at all based on the role, but what really kind of caught you sideways is this other girl, Ashley, that you might recognize from around. She's deeply involved in school, so I'm sure y'all cross paths at some point. Out of a gym bag slung over her back, she pulls this, it looks like a weird field hockey stick, and there's an edge on it of metal that shouldn't be there on a normal field hockey stick, but I don't know if Molly's particularly thrown by that or not. That might just be good sense. You know, improvise a weapon. I don't know. But the metal edge is almost painfully bright to you right now, Molly. Like, being so deep in this magic, like, you just see it glowing. Like, red hot bronze.
She, like, kind of squints her eyes a little bit.
Cole, what are you doing?
All right, so are we now all standing in a roughly clustered group, or am I still a ways away from them?
Oh, no, you're with them. And, like, you see, like, Friday kind of take up a position of some sort of readiness behind Molly, and you see Ashley, like, pull this modified field hockey bat out of her bag and have it down by her side.
Oh, my God, you too?
Kinda...
Fine. Come on. Circle up.
All right. Look, kids, this party is over. We gotta go. We gotta go now. It's bad now. It's gonna get worse. I had a vision, and I saw, I think, who is responsible for this, and this is just the beginning. There's something bigger. So we gotta go before the cops get here, because we gotta stop this guy now.
He's right. Let's go. We need to leave as soon as possible.
Molly?
Yes?
It's been a minute. Are you gonna burn those 2 points of luck?
Yes.
So you're going to be able to kick the curse out of everyone here. So I want you to describe for me what this is going to look like in 1 second, as we're going to get some good dramatic timing going on. Uh-huh. And I'm going to pull us down to one specific point in this room, and then you're going to describe what happens, okay?
Okay.
So the camera moves from y'all just as Cole and Friday were talking, and it zooms in on the principal, who's just been like, death grip on the podium, and like those white veins just completely cover her. And it's right as a dad gets up to check on her, one of those like authoritative football dads gets right up there to check on her, and she turns, and all four of you can kind of see this dude. It's just kind of like a quirk of fate or destiny or timing, and you all kind of see her just like look at him. Her eyes are pitch black. Her mouth opens far wider than it should. And her teeth elongate out like a snake's. And she lunges at him. And Molly's spell goes off.
Molly brings up the fidget spinner. And then slams it into the edge of her other palm. And reverses the momentum. And if anyone is like looking at Molly when that happens, they would see a very quick shockwave that goes through her body, where you see a green glimmer, because you can, for a split second, you can see every vein in her body glimmering under her skin, because that's where her magic comes from, is her blood. And then as her palm throws the fidget spinner into spinning the reverse direction, there's a tearing sound, and just this bright flash, this pulse of green just shoots out in like just the spinning sort of vortex of green just spins out and just kind of unfurls from her in all directions, and she drops to one knee.
So the energy washes out, and y'all see this happen up close to y'all first, because there had been people, you know, just as the principal was about to lunge at the dad, there were other people, like the people on the rows above and below where y'all are standing now, who were also lunging. And one person almost had their jaw around someone's leg. One person had someone's neck almost in their teeth. And you see this wave just hit them. It digs into their skin almost. And it peels this white magic substance away from them, and it looks excruciating, because it looks like it's being ripped out of their flesh almost by this magic. All three of you that are still up can see this on the people nearest y'all who are infected. These like white shapes are pulled away by the green and are kind of like ripped to shred, and this white vapor shoots away from it. This is happening just all over the auditorium. Down front, the principal, who is lunging at this dad, just screams and just kind of drops, and he manages to catch her and lower her to the ground. And from outside, y'all hear police sirens.
The Lost Library is a production of the Fifth Draw family of podcasts and can be found at fifthdraw.com. You can email us at lostlibrary@fifthdraw.com
or follow us on Twitter at LostLibraryCast.